Welcome, everybody, to Inside the Third Tribe. And I am very excited today because we are doing a bonus seminar. We've intended to do this for a while now, and our friend Shane Ketterman from the forums popped up and said, hey, I bet you guys could use a really awesome Third Tribe case study, and I happen to have one. So we were very pleased because this is an opportunity for you guys to really see how to take some of these ideas and how one person translated them into business reality. Not so you can copy what he did, you know, keystroke for keystroke, but so you can add on it and build on it and interpret it for your own business. So Shane, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Glad to be here.
So first thing, I want to just jump in and get a quick overview of where you were when you started off. So, you know, kind of where your site started out. What caused you, what kind of site it is, let people know what kind of, what the topic is. What caused you to create that site in the first place, and then where it is today? Now, you started the site about 7 months ago, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
It was about 7 months ago, and I always tell people, you know, it was a tweet that kind of started the whole thing. I had been in the Third Tribe, you know, obviously, and contributing, but not really knowing really, you know, what I was doing. And I had also been reading a lot about this thing called affiliate marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't quite too sure about affiliate marketing, how it felt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so then I saw a tweet one day, and somebody was selling a domain name, and it was about the iPad, which had just been released about 2 months before that. And I had one, and I said, wait a minute, couldn't I build a site around this? Mm-hmm. And sure I can. And so without hesitation, I bought the domain name. It was cheap. And I bought it, and I looked at it and said, okay, now what?
Right.
And that's kind of how that started.
That's interesting that you just kind of chased an opportunity there, because it's not like you had a strategy and said, okay, I see that the iPad is a popular new device, and, you know, people are going to have, this market is going to have this market need. You just saw something exciting, saw a trend, and
yeah.
Then figured out, okay, now how can we translate this trend into a business?
Yeah, and I think my gut reaction was, at first when I saw it, I mean, I did have a small process. The neurons did kind of click real quick and say, yes, this is probably going to be popular.
Mm-hmm.
Apple's probably going to do a pretty good job at this.
Mm-hmm.
And it would behoove me to try to jump on this opportunity. But at the same time, my first thought was, but I don't want to do affiliate marketing because it just didn't feel right at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did when I sat down for a moment is I said, how can I take what I've learned from some of these people that I've been associating with in the Third Tribe? How can I take that and apply it to this and build a community instead of just writing, you know, 5 articles and
right.
waiting for traffic to come and click things.
Now, you said in the forums that you took the traditional affiliate site and turned it upside down. So is that what you mean?
Yes. I created what Ray Hoffman calls Sugar Ray. A branded affiliate blog. So I set out to create an actual brand.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted people to find me by name. I wanted it to be a place where people could come and read helpful, useful stuff every day.
Right.
And I quickly differentiated. I sat down and I said, what is my differentiation going to be?
Mm-hmm.
With Apple, as you know, there's a ton of sites and they all do one thing. They report the news all day.
Right.
And I knew that I could not, or I could have if I wanted to, but I didn't want to do it. I said, my point of differentiation is going to be, I'm not going to do the news. I'm going to do all the other stuff they're not doing, which is helping people understand this thing.
Right.
The thing being the iPad. And so that was my point of differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I started to lead away from the traditional, what I would call affiliate site,
right.
like a little small product site into a much bigger, broader scale.
Yeah, it's interesting because for the first time, I was very excited. I spoke on a panel at South by Southwest this year, and it was hilarious because none of the other panelists had any idea what I do. I mean, it was awesome. You know, it was like, they were, you know.
They didn't know what you do?
it was like they didn't really know what copy blogger was. They really didn't know what content marketing was. They sort of just put me in there because they heard content was important. They were all, you know, hardware and software guys. So it was cool. It was awesome because it wasn't,
yes.
you know, it wasn't like, you know, talking to the same people I talk to all the time. It was talking to new people. It was really exciting. But one of my cornerstones of my piece of that was content is education plus personality. That It's not just about news. As you say, it's not just about this product was released on this date and it has this feature set and these are possible bugs. That's news. It's information. It's education. Maybe very useful, but not very interesting, not very compelling.
Absolutely. And it's funny you mentioned that, Sonia, because I'm like the reverse, where I'll tell people that are in this, you know, kind of Apple niche, if you will, this about Copyblogger and about what I'm learning in content marketing. And they kind of, you know, the response is, what?
Right.
And they don't connect that, you know, what I tell them is, you are content marketing.
Right. Right. And content without any personality, you know, it can work, but boy, it's difficult to make it work. And the other thing is, and you've used the word a couple of times, differentiate. And that's a key for any business, any business.
Absolutely.
You know, if you are a dry cleaner, you can probably get away with just, well, you're on the right block. You know, your differentiating point is you're on the right block and there's people who have jobs near your business. But if you're not a dry cleaner or a gas station, you've got to find some point, some reason for your customer to do business with you. And of course, in the blogging world, customer sometimes just means reader. But why read you and not read the other 1,400 Apple News blogs? I mean, you know, why read you? And the reason, the answer to that, and the cool thing is this can be replicated an infinite number of times. The answer to that is you have a certain personality, you have a certain flavor, you have a certain angle that just comes from who you are as a person. And Sugar Ray, Sugar Ray is a great example, and I will give folks a link to that, to her site. Sugar Ray writes about SEO. Now, there ain't no two Sugar Rays in this world.
I can guarantee you there are not.
Sugar Ray has a very strong personality. She is a tough talking broad. She has in her life, she has faced some of the toughest things any human being can ever face in this world, and she has risen to the occasion. She is strong. She is opinionated. She offends the hell out of plenty of people. She curses like, I don't think sailors curse like that anymore.
I don't even think that, exactly.
She curses like a sailor from like the 1930s, okay? And she's intense, and she's herself, and she's real. And she chases away more people than she attracts, but the people she attracts will take a bullet for her. And that's the other side. She's not just entertaining. She's got the education. She knows her stuff. She will give you rock solid information and she won't steer you wrong. And so it's that blend. And so I'm really glad because, you know, of course, the Third Tribers have heard this before, but in my business, I can stand to hear it from time to time too. Don't forget to be educational and informative and useful. Don't forget to be interesting. Don't be afraid if a couple of people unsubscribe or even a bunch of people unsubscribe. It's okay because you are pulling the right people closer to you. You just have to really be sure you understand who those right people are and make a connection.
Absolutely. She had, and I think if you find these people, and you can even find this in Third Tribe as well, and you can even find it on Copyblogger, if you look beyond just the simple posts that come. If you look, Brian's teaching, Ray is teaching, but you got to look a little deeper at what they're talking about and not stay up on that surface. And so, you know, by doing what I do, like, you know, I went through Copyblogger and, you know, I was learning about headline writing.
Right.
And I look at a lot of the sites that are kind of in my area and the headlines, quite frankly, suck.
I mean,
they don't draw me in. So I started creating headlines that I feel were a little bit more compelling. I wanted people to see those and so what, you know, and a lot of people say, well, that doesn't really matter. And it does matter.
Of course it
really
does.
Matters because I'm content marketing is what I'm really doing. Even though, you know, a lot of people find these sites by most of my traffic is from organic search. It doesn't matter. It's going to come right up there in the SERP and people are going to click or not.
Well, I want to touch on that point and then I want to get into your stats because I think that this is, these are not chump change numbers. You have some serious numbers. The SEO point, first, there's two points I want to make on that. First, if nobody ever looks at your content, no one will ever link to your content. And if nobody ever links to your content, you won't do anything in SEO unless you are trying for a completely, you know, a keyword phrase that nobody else cares about. You can do it. There's topics you can do it for, but boy, you know, if you want to rank and you've got a little competition, and of course, competition is the sign that there might be a viable business in there.
Absolutely.
You're going to have to get people to actually read your stuff, and a good headline really, really works to get people to read your stuff. If people read to it, they start to share it in social media, which is an indicator for the search engines that this content is good, and they link to it. And the other thing that I want to make sure people understand is, let's say you're on Google and maybe you're position 7 or position 8. great. You fought your way to the front page, but you're not on the top yet. If your headline rocks and then your meta description and so that little snippet underneath the headline rocks,
yep.
You know, you might get that click above the number one position, the number two position, the number three position, because that searcher's eye is going to be drawn to that headline and say, well, okay, yeah, boring, boring, boring. Oh, that looks kind of interesting. And you're going to earn the click. So
absolutely. And that's happened. I've seen it happen.
Yep.
I've actually seen that occur.
Right. Yeah. You'll know it's happening because if you're getting searches on a particular phrase and you know you're 6, 7, 8, 9 on that page for that phrase, then you know you're earning the click above the results above you. So let's talk some stats. Do you want to just run down your numbers? Because a lot of the third tribers don't know this, that I am now senior editor, whatever you want to call it, executive editor of Copyblogger. So, okay. The truth is I let Brian do all the work on that, right? Brian built the blog. I came in, oh gosh, maybe 3.5 years after the blog was founded.
Yeah.
And so, but people don't realize I know what it's like to build my own blog because I did it. I built it on TypePad, heaven help me, and then switched over to self-hosted WordPress. So I blew all those links, including one from Seth Godin. Yes, you may shoot me in the head. That's fine.
He's still on TypePad, by the way.
I know. We're working on it. We're trying. We've talked to him. You know, so I know what it's like. I know what numbers are. I know what it's like to fight your way to the first 1,000 blog subscribers and then go off of TypePad and have to build them again. I know that it's not easy. And so I look at these numbers and I'm impressed. I'm impressed because there are a lot of people who would kill for these numbers. And we're going to talk about where they come from in a little bit. And also we're going to talk about why you don't need these numbers to be a success. But let's talk about your visits, your page views, how much your traffic comes from search, that kind of thing.
Well, I think the visits right now hover between 9,000 to 11,000 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's uniques, right?
That's uniques.
So that's individual people, not one person reading the site 22 times.
Right, no, I hope not.
Never know.
That off. I should be writing books.
Right.
But it's uniques. And they come from all over the place. I mean, all over the world, which is something interesting because when I write, I have to remember that.
Yes.
I have to use language that doesn't confuse people. And because I have readers, it's interesting. During the night, I get people from, you know, the other side.
Right.
A lot from Australia, too, that are on a different time schedule. But that's 11,000 uniques a day. And it depends. Sundays tend to be heavier traffic days. I think people might just be sitting there surfing.
Mm-hmm.
But 79% of that is from organic search.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that ties back to what you said about the SEO.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be clicking if they weren't interested and it wasn't something they wanted.
Right.
And then the subscribers have jumped up to 1,400. But, you know, I'm not pushing subscribers as much as mm-hmm. some sites because I'm not using my email list to, you know, promote a product or to. I do have a separate email list that is growing, and that is I ranked for iPad speakers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't even know how I did it. I saw it one day in my keyword research, and I said, well, this is interesting. If people are looking for it, I can probably have an Amazon affiliate link, and they can go over.
Right.
And it actually was the truth, and I had a conversation with Derek Halpern,
mm-hmm.
who is another great influence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he says it like it is.
He does.
And he said, you know, I'll never forget that. He's like, Shane, what are you doing? You know, you're number one on Google.
Right.
For this term. And these are people that want...
Right.
And so I took his advice and, you know, I started writing more about that topic and yeah, it worked. And so I have a separate email list where I send out a newsletter once a month all about just iPad speakers.
Wow. Cool. Very cool. And Derek, for those who maybe, because not every triber spends a lot of time in the forums, Derek, he's not a forum rat like we are. Shane and I are forum rats. We're there all the time. But Derek does come in and he's very, very, it's funny because he's quite a young guy, but he's a very experienced marketer. He's built a couple of businesses online, very profitable businesses online. When I met Derek, he was working full time, I think mostly to make his mom happy. You know, like his mom was worried that he didn't have a job. So he took a 9-to-5 just so she didn't freak out. But he was making, you know, really an extremely nice professional salary online. Plus he had this job.
You know what's so funny, Sony, is you mentioned that job. And I've seen this so many times. People say, oh, I might have to get a real job. And I think, well, wait a minute. I work really hard.
Right.
This is a real job.
Yes. It is a real job, despite, you know, everybody who does what we do has that same experience of, I remember talking to my sister once and I said, well, I have to, you know, I have to go now. I have to get some work done. And she said, you got a job? And it's like, What do you think?
Yes,
I do. You know, do you, I don't have a trust fund. I'm, you know. So anyway, yeah, Derek is somebody who, he does come around the forums, and his role, I think, is to kind of, he's like the stern good angel on our shoulder, who's always saying, like, are you getting to work? Are you executing? Or are you just kind of hanging out and, you know, socializing? Are you building
actually
a business?
The voice of reality.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
And he's, and you know, and you don't have to take everyone's advice, but when people are experienced and they're willing to spend their time helping you out, in my opinion, it just behooves you to listen to what they've got to say and, mm-hmm. you know, give it a shot.
Yep.
Never burn a bridge. Well, I wanted to mention on the stats, though, one thing is that another couple of things that have helped those stats get to where they are, and the page views are good too. I think that was up to 306,000 page views in a month. And I think, you know, I when I last looked the other day, I had 576 articles.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. For a 7-month-old site, guys.
Yeah. And I've written most all of those. There's a couple that have been written by some guest posters that I've tried to... It's hard to find guest posters when you're picky like me.
Yeah.
Because I say SEO and they kind of look at me cross-eyed, like, what?
Right.
But and so... I will say that a lot of those articles are more than 500 words, and they're useful articles, not just news. And so I think those page views are coming from the fact that people tend to, what I've noticed, is they'll read one and they'll skip over and read another and another.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Yeah.
I want them to do that. But also, another thing that's helped that is something I call event writing. And I don't know if people are familiar with Glenn Alsop, but he's another one of the online marketers, very young, very successful.
Yeah.
And he wrote about this, and I kind of listened to what he said, and I actually attempted that. I know that people are familiar with the latest, you know, the iPad 2 that came out. Well, what I did was 2 weeks before that, I wrote 6 articles, really long articles.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote those around questions that people would have, mm-hmm. like, how do I use it? How do I choose one? Where do I buy one? You know, how do I choose a data plan for one? And I broke those out, and I made those separate articles, and I literally wrote them as if the device existed,
mm-hmm.
based on, you know, all of the rumors that were surrounding what we knew.
Right.
So then, on the day of the announcement, I did a little live blog where I was live blogging it. And it wasn't necessarily for traffic. It was so that I could ingrain into that page that mm-hmm. I was writing about this topic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, after the end of the announcement, I immediately published those articles. I kind of, you know, doctored them up a little bit.
Right.
And I immediately published them. And that day, I saw over 14,000 people. And the downside to that was, is they were all starting to leave comments and ask questions. And I almost turned into like iPad technical support.
Yeah.
I almost went on Twitter and I almost said, iPad technical support, how can I help you today? It really was overwhelming to me. What it showed me, though, is that when you look at events that are happening, you can kind of anticipate. And when I anticipate what people might be wanting to know.
Right.
But then once they get there, they see what's going on the site. And what I noticed is my subscribers really climbed those, you know, about for a week. And I started getting emails from people saying, geez, I'm really glad I found this site.
Right.
And a couple of times I did what I call Seth Godin's Purple Cow or customer experience. I had a couple people that if they take the time to tweet me and say, Shane, I found your site. I really like it. I reply with, hey, thank you. How about TC Geeks will buy you an app?
Well, nice.
And I got the most heartfelt email back from somebody I did that to a couple weeks ago. And she said, I'm a teacher. We're on a budget. You have no idea how much this means to me.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah, and what was your total investment for that relationship?
$4.99.
$5. Yeah.
It was $5. And I have to say that these people see this, and they're even surprised when I comment back to them on a post that's 6 months old.
Right.
And so, yeah.
It's fascinating how those kind of things start to show up. For example, on CopyBlogger, some of the links we get, SEOs would, you know, they want to like hang out in dark alleys and, you know, hit us on the head to get these links, because we get links from EDU sites. Which are very, very
yes.
authoritative. Why do we do it? Because we have thousands of pages of solid, extremely informative, and yet highly digestible educational content about
Absolutely.
Things people want to know about. And so, yeah, you know, it's like you just sometimes, you know, an investment of spending an hour to write an article or an investment of $5 to brighten somebody's day on Twitter, sometimes it'll come back in a lateral way and you don't realize, you know, you don't realize that that teacher might go on to, well, didn't you say she went on to share your page with a, like a teacher's list?
Yeah. She said, you know, she thanked me and all and that. And, but then she said at the end, she goes, also what I want to do is put your site in my newsletter that goes out to 7,000 teachers. And I said, well, thank you. And so reciprocity works, but as we know,
right.
But it was not the only time I have done that. And I ran a contest. I run contests often where I'll email, you know, app developers or whatnot, and I'll say, hey, you know, I like your product, but I'd like to run a contest with it and offer it to a reader. And I'll do that. Well, I had a gentleman come back in and reply, and he said, I really hope I win this. I just got back from Iraq. And I was like, wow, you know, this young guy just spent his, you know, I just emailed him back and I said, look, here, have a copy of it.
Yeah.
You've probably had a, you know, an interesting time. And he was overjoyed. I don't do that often because you can't really get into becoming, I don't know, just giving everything away. You can't become that person. But I call this customer experience. I call it the purple cow, where I like to wow people once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Do something unexpected. And I think you're right. When it's not unexpected, you know, when it becomes the expected thing, then it's not, it's not exciting anymore. And then it's just a big entitlement game, which is no fun. But when it's occasional and unexpected, that makes it exciting. And, you know, that really does give people a jolt and a little thrill.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, somebody commented, they said, you know, I really feel like you're building a small community here. And I said, well, you know, that's what the intent is, definitely.
Right.
So it that worked. And I think, too, you know, one thing about this traffic and stats, there's another thing that helped was learning outside of the typical affiliate niche.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I mentioned that, but it's really true. So I've gotten to do some articles on Copyblogger, which really have helped me because it's totally outside of my realm.
Right.
Yet, when I sit down and have to write those, I really have to think outside the box. And I like that.
Yeah.
And I took, Chris Garrett has his course, Authority Blogger. And I did that because, you know, I met him at Blog World and I really liked what he was talking about. And honestly, that course really helped me apply those techniques he was teaching to my own site.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as I started doing that, I noticed things starting to happen on my site.
Yeah.
Same thing with, you know, some of the others I've done. Darren has some great things that I've done that he's offered on his Pro Blogger. So.
Yeah, I mean, I love Darren's 30 Days to a Better Blog because it's so.
That's the one.
And I'll give all you guys links to this. They won't be affiliate links, but just these are really good resources that I agree. I mean, I have them. I use them. You know, I just think they're really kind of cornerstone. But 30 Days to a Better Blog is such a great idea because it's manageable, but it's kind of like a focused sprint. You know, okay, I'm going to sprint through. I'm going to see a big improvement and then I'm going to take a breather. You know, so it's kind of got a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Well, and I think, you know, these things aren't typical of, and I think this is the message here is that you can look outside your niche or your area and you can take, and I think actually Brian described it perfectly over in Teaching Sells. He gave that example of Copyblogger being taking age old copywriting and applying it to internet marketing.
Right. And social media.
And social media.
Blogging, social networking. I mean, and there was no such thing as Twitter when Copyblogger was launched. I think it predates Facebook, although I can never remember when Facebook, the dawn of time when Facebook was originally born and it was just college students. There was no such thing as LinkedIn. So these are all brand new platforms. In those, you know, old days, right? 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It was dig and bookmarking was the big thing.
Yeah.
So those things change. But yeah, that social media community and just the blogging community, nobody had ever combined awesome headlines with virtual community before. That was just a totally new combination and it really works.
It really does. I have seen a massive increase from just applying those techniques that I'm learning outside of my realm.
Right.
But it doesn't mean I have to copy. It doesn't mean I have to go and say, well, I'm going to copy exactly what Copyblogger does or exactly what I'm not copying them. I'm taking what they're doing and applying it.
Right.
To my situation.
Right. You're recreating it. One of the best things you can do is keep your eye out for things that are working. And even things like, I'm a catalog junkie. I mean, I just love catalogs. I love them. That's terrible. It's so embarrassing. But you can take direct mail catalogs and other pieces of direct mail that you get. You know, like maybe you get a really interesting direct mail piece for a dentist and you are a creative writing coach. Look at this piece for a dentist and see what it is about it that kind of hooks you, that kind of appeals to you, and then reproduce that on your blog.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Or do a series of articles in a writing magazine or do a series of editorials in a writing magazine that use those, you know, so it's always translation. And I find the further afield from your topic you go, very often the better results you get. Because, you know, your own field, if everybody's seen that technique already, it's not as effective as if you take something, way outside. Or you can take the same topic, but a really different market. Like I do, I take lots of, and I'm the first to tell people this, I take lots of topic ideas from Dan Kennedy. So we have the same market, but we have very different customers. There's a tiny, tiny little intersection between me and Dan Kennedy of people who check both of us out. But I speak to a different market.
Gladwell does the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of his books are based on, you know, studies that were done, you know, decades ago, but he's repurposed them. And, you know, it's the same concept. I mean, it happened with, you know, Henry Ford didn't come up with the assembly line. Like, he didn't wake up one night. He actually visited a meatpacking industry in Chicago and said, this is working. Well, now I'm going to apply it to my own situation. And that actually does work.
No, it really does. And very often, you know, businesses get stuck and business people get stuck. And that is just a tremendous way to get unstuck. I want to jump back to one thing because we touched on it just for a second. But I think that a lot of people are going to listen to this seminar and they're going to say, well, yeah, Shane's successful. He's writing about the iPad. I mean, I'm writing about naked mole rats. I'm not going to find any success. And I want to talk about that. Naked mole rats is my, that's my phrase.
I have to tell you. I was in San Diego when they first brought the naked mole rats, and I'm not joking. I was the first one ever to get the naked mole rat t-shirt.
That makes me feel so good. So naked mole rats, if you ever hear me say naked mole rats, they're these weird insect-like rodents, okay? They're very interesting animals. They were featured in a great Errol Morris film called Fast, Cheap, and Out of Control.
Yep.
The reason I use naked mole rats is because, as far as I can see, I don't think there's any way to monetize naked mole rat content. You know, they're fascinating. They're extremely interesting. People who are interested in them are fascinated by them. But by and large, they're not a market. Okay, apart from the t-shirt, the t-shirt was a good, t-shirts are a good way to go with non-monetizable topics. But if you want to make money, please don't write about naked mole rats because it's not a money topic. Okay, so there are topics out there. And how do you know what they are? Well, here's one hint. They're what you get spam for. Okay,
yes.
So weight loss. Sex, frankly, you know, sex, connection, romance. I mean, it's all, you know, it's a pretty strong biological driver there. And its result, parenting, right?
Fun. Fitness.
Fitness and fitness kind of, you know, goes between sort of weight loss and sex appeal, right? We want to look good and we want to feel good. To some degree, longevity. People want to live longer. They want to feel better. They just want to have a better life. And money.
Yep.
And then marketing, which is a subset of money. These are the topics that technology is a big one. Gadgets and toys is a huge, huge topic these days. Fashion. And again, that kind of goes back a little bit to sex appeal and looking good and feeling confident. These are topics that have a ton of competition because they have a ton of readers and buyers. And so you found a trend. But again, as you say, Apple says, okay, we're going to recreate a market for the tablet computer. The tablet computer, there was an interesting article, I don't remember where I saw it, you know, that the tablet computer has been around in some form for a good 20 years. Longer than that, if you're going to be a jerk about it and go back to the difference engine, but I don't think you can call the difference engine a tablet computer.
Yeah.
Because it's the size of a room. But, you know, that idea of a tablet computer, and in a sense, a tablet computer is a laptop that doesn't fold. I mean, it's not.
Absolutely.
It's been around. People tried it and came to the conclusion there was no market for this device because they, and then Apple came along, put the Apple goodness on it and made a market. So you saw, okay, this company that has a history of launching winners is going to launch a tablet.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure yet how I'm going to monetize that, but I know I'm going to be able to find traffic.
Yeah.
That's not just like Shane's a lucky idiot and, you know, this topic fell on him and he won the lottery. You saw a trend, you acted on the opportunity quickly, and then you applied business knowledge to the topic. You applied what you learned. You applied what you learned in Third Tribe. You applied what you learned from free sources like Glenn's blog, Sugar Ray's blog, Copyblogger,
yep.
And you applied the advice you got from mentors that you met in the forums on the Third Tribe. You applied all that, and you put it into, and you made, I bet, a bunch of mistakes, and you had some blind alleys, but you kept going forward. So I just want to make sure that people don't gloss over it and say, well, I write about something nobody cares about, so I can't make money. Two points on that. One, if you're writing about something that's not something people will pay money for, you know, that's not a business. That might be a very passionate hobby, and there's nothing wrong with a very passionate hobby. If you want to run a business, you've got to find a topic people will make, will pay for. They will pay for something. They'll pay for a product, or they'll pay for education, or they'll pay for whatever it might be. Or a t-shirt, you know?
And, you know, and that doesn't mean that I'm selling iPads, because certainly I'm not. I mean, if I could sit and sell them all day, great. That would be wonderful. But it doesn't mean that that's what I'm doing, although I am monetizing. But
why don't we talk about that? We haven't covered that. Where does your revenue come from on the site?
Well, I have four sources. I use AdSense. And one thing I want to say about AdSense is, when I started this, that was another point of differentiation. I did not want this to be cluttered and littered with ads.
Right.
Because I didn't want people to arrive and leave so quickly, disgraced by all the ads. So what I did was, I spent a lot of time watching. Google has this thing in analytics called in-page analytics. And what it does is, it shows you little bubbles of percentage points of where people have clicked on your site. Well, I didn't use it for that. I used it for something else. I used it to see where people were clicking the most, because that was where their attention was. And so when I switched over to using the Genesis theme, I had the person, Nick was his name, that helped develop it for me. I had him help me place those in very specific spots, and I experimented for about 2 weeks.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, and I used those in-page analytics showing me where people were clicking, and I literally put the ads right there.
Right, very good, yeah.
Well, I can tell you, Sonia, it tripled the AdSense income.
Right.
But they're not annoying. I don't, luckily, Google only lets you have 3 on a page, so you can't get away with having 10.
Right.
So that's one little area. The other one is, I do the Amazon affiliate. And I do that with, I have a little, Amazon has this neat thing that you can use where you can type in a keyword, like I type in iPad cases, and it will randomize and show different, you know, products, and I place that in, you know, specific locations. Well, with Amazon, what I learned, and this was the most fascinating eye-opener I've ever had, was I didn't realize that Amazon puts, you know, a cookie on their computer. So when they go shopping, I benefit. Now, during December, I went on there, and I have to tell you, I laughed because I saw 15 Hello Kitty toasters. And
That's pretty
amazing.
I literally
had to scratch my head. I did. I know. I sat there and I thought, now, wait a minute. Should I go on Third Tribe and ask this, which I did? Or what is going on? Because how do people go from reading about an app to buying a Hello Kitty toaster? So somebody finally explained to me, like, what was going on. And I kind of felt like I should have known this, but, you know, you just don't know everything. And I said, oh, that's what's happening.
Right. Anybody,
so that's why
anybody
I'm selling over vacuums.
Anything that people buy in that session that they open, when you start the session, you get a commission on. And so Darren Rouse has some sometimes quite eye-opening. If you follow Darren on Twitter, which everybody should because he's lovely, he'll, you know, sometimes he'll say, oh, my dear, you know. And Darren, of course, Darren, of course, you know, is, you know, he's a former minister. He's a very stand-up fellow. And some of the things that people will buy after, you know, from one of his links, it's pretty funny. Some of the other items people who are interested in photography are interested in can be a little bit of an ahem moment.
Yeah, his December one was quite fascinating. Well, and this happened to me the other day. I went on and somebody had bought a Philips defibrillator machine.
Wow.
Now I thought, okay, you know, no pun intended, but are my posts that shocking? But I, you know, this is a purchase, you know, that's really not one you just make on a whim.
Right. I think I'll get a defibrillator while I'm here.
While I'm reading about this article on the iPad, I think I'll, but so the Amazon has been very interesting for me, I have to say. And there's many ways you can use it. You know, and Amazon, I mean, for all that it's worth, you know, you can click through and you can see people's reviews. It's a pretty decent, I mean, it's used a lot. So, so I use AdSense and Amazon, but I use a Conterra is what it's called. And it's just, it's in-text links. So it goes through and it finds the content of the page and it underlines and you can click. And it's not annoying. So I try to do things that aren't annoying. And then also when I talk about apps, I use LinkShare, and that gives, that's an affiliate.
Mm-hmm.
So basically I work for Google.
I want to piggyback on what you said about the placement of your AdSense links, because as your site evolves, you know, there might be something, for example, on Commission Junction. Commission Junction is another great site to find affiliate products. And the cool thing about Commission Junction is they have real world products. So sometimes you can get, maybe there'll be next week, there will arise some really awesome laptop case company, and they have a program at Commission Junction. So you can use those AdSense spots. You can identify the high performing position. And at any time in your business, you can swap out a higher profit advertisement as they become available, you know?
Absolutely.
Or if you, and it's a little hard at this point to know, well, what information product would I, you know, what course about the iPad would I ever sell? But if there was such a thing, as a high dollar or low dollar, $47 course about the iPad, you always have that ad space there that you know is a high performing spot that you can put your own ad in. So that's, you know, Copyblogger took ads for a long time. And then over time, the sites evolved. And now we use that advertising for our products. But you don't have to start that way. There's no either or. I love the way that you were analytical and focused. And in just a couple of weeks, you identified your high performing spots for your ads, because that is going to vary a little bit from site design and market and topic. And so you didn't just sort of take received wisdom, you know, just put it in the upper right hand side, but you actually did some testing to find specifically just the perfect position. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And it really did help. I mean, it made a difference. I was quite shocked that just watching where people go, and you know, you can use heat maps. I mean, there's all kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
I chose analytics. I mean, it was, you know, it was right there. And I thought, this is an interesting way to use it, you know, a little different. So
There's one called Crazy Egg, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But I like analytics because you're really measuring what people click on. And if you use AdSense, you're specifically looking at where do people click on an ad. So for me, I mean, I'm a simple soul. I like, you know, I like the direct approach.
Yeah. Well, and then the other one that I use is Webmaster Tools.
Mm-hmm.
And I use that because it tells me if there's crawl errors. And I'm very, you know, almost OCD to the point of if I have crawl errors and Google's telling me that, I'm going to correct those right now, because I don't want to put myself in a position of waking up one day and I'm wiped off the map.
Right.
That would cause that, but.
Why don't you explain to people what a crawl error is, just for those who are not as savvy as you are?
Well, in Webmaster Tools, it has a section where you register your site, you know, and then you go on. And the crawl errors are pages that when Googlebot crawls your site, pages that it couldn't find,
mm-hmm.
things that have moved. Sometimes, you know, sometimes I've deleted a post before and Googlebot has crawled my site. And because that post was linked other places,
right.
it can't find it anymore. And it tells me that. Also, it looks for problems in your sitemap.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a sitemap and the Googlebot, you know, knows about it because you've told it in Webmaster Tools that you have a sitemap, if it's crawling through there and it can't find something that it's looking for based on what you had before, it will tell you that there's a crawl error.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Basically, those are just technical errors. And I don't think there's any hard, fast data to say you're not going to do well if you have these. Certainly, I've had a few on there and it hasn't really affected me. But if you weigh everything out, I spend a lot of time over on SEO Moz,
mm-hmm.
and I read a lot of their content. And this is where I've learned a lot of my SEO.
Yeah, they're a great site.
Oh, they're an excellent site, excellent resource. And if you look, in fact, Rand Fishkin he released a book last year on learning SEO. And it is a great, great resource. But if you look at in the context of all SEO, I just tend to think, well, the least crawl errors I can have, probably the better.
Probably better. And one nifty thing that you can do in some of the premium WordPress themes, Genesis is one of them,
uh-huh.
is you can, it's really sweet. There's just a little field in there. So if you have a page, maybe it's not relevant anymore, you can redirect that page. You just type
Absolutely.
It in the field. Okay, when people go, like, so maybe I've got some links to this page already, redirect them to another page that's going to be relevant. Don't do something dopey, like put it on your sales page. Put it on something relevant that people are going to be happy to see. And that's a nice little way to, if you do publish a post that for whatever reason you'd like to not have anymore, you can just send that traffic to something else that's going to be useful.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Sonia, because I was using another tool prior to Genesis to do those redirects.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I switched over, it was built in and that was great. And that's what I do with those crawl errors. I go and I find where they were trying to go.
Right, right.
And then I redirect them to something. But you're right, it has to be something relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So if I've changed the name of something, I redirect it to what it's supposed to be, or sometimes just to my homepage.
Sure. Yeah. No harm in that.
Webmaster Tools also, for those that don't know, is a great, it's different than analytics. It will show you what people searched for to get to your site.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas analytics shows you once they've got to your site. So I use Webmaster Tools. Every Sunday, I sit down and I go through and I look at the percentages of rising key phrases that people have searched for to get to me.
Yeah.
And I look at those and I say, okay, there's intent behind this. What is that intent?
Right.
And that's how I determine what I'm going to write about next. I know I would love to be, and I probably should get to this point someday, like Chris Brogan, where he's, you know, can write like 10 posts and have them ready to go. With my site, I post 3 times a day, and I'm more under the gun always.
Right.
I'm not suggesting that's a good thing to do, but for my niche, it's more of how I work, I guess.
And also, I think that's a factor in the kind of topic that you're covering. So you're covering emerging technology. It's, you know, there's a lot of news that's got to be addressed for somebody who is in back pain or creative writing or gardening. You know, there's no need to post 3 times a day because your topic doesn't change the same way. So you might do that, you know, you might have a marathon session where you say, okay, for 2 weeks, I'm going to write 3 posts a day just to really get some awesome content out there, but it's not, you know, that's not going to be your norms. Every topic has got its own. I mean, if you want your 186,000 visits, guys, you're going to have to put some work in.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I know, you know, some people would say, gosh, that's just a lot of posting, but well, it is, but there's a certain amount of, there's a lot to cover.
Mm-hmm.
And for a site like this, I think, you know, for what I'm doing right now, now, eventually, once is the site, you know, as it, I know on a few other big, huge branded affiliate sites, they post like once a day, but I'll get there. And right now, this is how it's working. But it is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And that's, I don't want anybody in this to come away thinking the way that some unnamed good teachers in the affiliate marketing space, but nonetheless, people who are, they're selling courses and they want to make it seem easy. And, you know, they kind of gloss over the fact that this kind of business, any kind of business, is work. If it was paint by numbers, then we would all be outsourcing it to orphans in Haiti to do the content, and we would just be rolling around in money all day long, right? I mean, if it was easy, we could just outsource it to, I don't know, unemployed steel workers, right? And why on earth would we even be having this conversation? We would just be having so much money, we'd be trying to figure out how to spend it all. Business is work. Business is about work. It's not about being a slave. It's not about being a slave to your company and the old bricks and mortar thing where, you know, you were putting in 60, 70, 80 hours a week. It doesn't have to be about that. But it's also not about Chris Garrett's wonderful. You know, he loves this expression, you know, you push the button on the internet cash machine and the cash just starts flowing out, you know.
Yeah, I think Darren has said that before too, in some context about, you know, the internet can be an ATM. Well, it's true, and I like what you said. It is work, but
it is work.
I also want to say that if, you know, all you have to do is focus and look at this as a business. I, you know, literally, this is interesting, but when I look at my site, I see a storefront.
Uh-huh.
I do. I see a brick and mortar storefront, and I go, people are walking in my door. A lot of them per day are walking in that door. And it's not just traffic. These are actual customers. So what can I do for them, you know, without, and so I actually visualize it as being that. And I think of it as a real little mini business.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes the difference. I mean, you care about things like customer experience and you don't talk about traffic. You talk about people. That's a very different mindset than the traditional affiliate, get some eyeballs and get some clicks and set it and forget it kind of mindset, which is very, it's very limiting. And in the long run, frankly, I don't think that the ROI is there for most people.
Mm-mm. No.
Well, this has been really good. I don't want to overwhelm people. I mean, there's so many things we could throw at them, but gosh, I think they just have a lot that they can already implement. And I've been scribbling notes about links that I will include in the seminar page.
Absolutely.
To both free content and then back to some of the Third Tribe seminars where we've covered some of these questions in more detail. If you need more detailed resources, more detailed information about how to put these things into place, do you want to just, is there like a last thought that you want to leave us with, a last point that you want to end on to kind of send folks off with a bang?
With a bang,
with
yes.
A bang.
Please pursue the naked mole rat. No,
somebody's got to be able to make money with this. Prove me wrong.
actually, the one thought that I thought would be useful is about duplication. And, you know, I think what I see a lot of, I do see this a lot. I see people trying to duplicate the successes of other blogs and sites and topics. And the thing is with that is you can't ever duplicate what somebody has done. And the one example I can think of that's just recent is, I hate to go back to Apple again, but I will, with the iPhone. Now, everybody saw the success of that and started to duplicate it. Well, while they were duplicating that, Apple went off and created an entirely different product and dominated a new market.
Right.
And this is also called, you know, the blue ocean strategy, where you go and you create an entirely different market. But the point is that no one can duplicate what they have done. They can make knockoffs,
right,
but they can't duplicate that success. And so I say that in context of sites, where you can take what people are teaching and take those successes, just like your example of getting that dental advertisement in the mail, but then put it on top of what you're doing.
Right.
Try to apply it to what you're doing so that you're not copying somebody. You know, and I think we see this in social media. Everybody wants to be a social media consultant.
Right.
But why not take that and do something completely different with it?
Yes.
Create your own market, your own world.
Absolutely. And that's where we see the most success. I mean, there are quite a few copy blogger clones, but in particular, there are, I don't know. I mean, I have to wonder how many pro blogger clones there are out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sites that are just how to make money with blogging. And most of these people haven't ever made any money with blogging, which is kind of interesting.
Exactly. Yeah, they're trying to copy Darren. But I would, if I were going to start a blog about blogging, I certainly wouldn't even attempt to try to duplicate that. It's already been done.
No, I have a close associate who is taking, you know, the Third Tribe model, the copy blogger model, and she is taking that to so I'm going to make up something because I don't want to blow her strategy, but let's say she's taking it to the unemployed steelworker. She's taking it to the unemployed auto worker. She's taking it to a niche you would never think had anything to do with blogging, to a whole new audience of people who are not particularly technical, but they're at just on the cusp of that. Holy crap, I got to get a web presence. I don't know how to do it. I don't even know what Twitter is, but it sounds scary. And she's becoming the liaison between her market that she knows very well because she's been a member of that community for decades.
Wow.
And the new world, this new Third Tribe, which is very cutting edge. I mean, it's so funny because we look around and, you know, a couple of thousand of us and we think, wow, this is a big tribe. This is a tiny tribe. It's a tiny tribe. This is really the cutting edge. And so when you're in Third Tribe, yeah, I mean, think about ways that you can bring this knowledge. We've all heard it enough that we say, yeah, I know that. I know that. But you know what? There's all kinds of people who don't know it yet. So take this, translate it to a new market, preferably one that makes money. And and there's just, I mean, there's really exciting opportunities. And people always ask, you know, if you were going to do it from scratch, what would you do? And I think that's what I would probably do if I hadn't, you know, if I hadn't made the connection with Brian and become part of the copy blogger business, which has been such a privilege. I think I would have gone into a niche. I would have gone into a vertical that's a proven moneymaker, and brought what I've learned from my own study of sites like Copyblogger. I was a Copyblogger fangirl before I was ever a part of the company. I would bring that learning, you know, out to new markets because I think it's just wide open.
It is. And it really does work. And I would say the same thing. You know, I can't say that I'm not going to be interested in doing other things. I will. I mean, and I can take what I'm all that Third Tribe and Authority Blogger and all of that, and even teaching sales to an extent, a massive extent.
Absolutely.
And I can do what I'm doing on this site and I can do something else, but I'm taking all of that, but I'm not going to try to like duplicate somebody and duplicate that, but I will definitely apply all this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's perfect and we all, like you said, stumble along the way, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're all human.
That's right. Every failure is a data point.
it is a data point.
It's data about what didn't work. So it's all
yes.
good. All right, Shane. Well, I want to respect your time. And I also, as you all know, I like to make sure that I stop while we can still think and act before we get so overwhelmed by information that we can't move. So I want to really thank you for sharing your story with us. It's just so wonderful to see somebody putting theory into practice and making it happen and seeing results. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I've really, really enjoyed it. And I always enjoy talking to you. So thank you all, Tribers. This is Sonia Simone with Inside the Third Tribe. Thank you.